Welcome in, Chiefs Kingdom, to an episode of Chiefs Focus Live. We have a playoff championship caliber show.
Yes, we do.
We're going to do a little segment called Not a Comeback. We'll talk a little history in the making. And I've got a question for the old man, JP. Plus a little, you know, a little plus and minus there for a couple other things we're going to talk about. My name is Quentin Morris. We got this running the show in the background. And now a guy who shows up only during the postseason. It's the old man himself, JP.
That's me. What's up, man?
Hey. I'm excited for my question that I'm going to ask you, because I'll be interested to see where the chat goes. And I have a feeling that we're going to be on opposite sides of it per usual. So,
yeah.
But before we do that, I want to head into our sort of first topic, not a comeback. And the reason I want to call it not a comeback is there were some players that played well during the Bills Chiefs game on Sunday, they didn't play well during the regular season. So it can't be a comeback story or a redemption story, because there's nothing to come back from. So I just wanted to go through a couple of players. I'm sure you have a couple that you want to bring up. So I don't know. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? How do you want to start this bad boy?
You know, I'll go because it's easy. I mean, we have to give MVS a shout out because he actually played well during that game. In the Bills game, I should say.
Right.
Caught a couple of nice deep passes, ran some great routes. He did some nice blocking. He didn't miss anything, which was, you know, a plus, although he was only targeted twice. But regardless, he didn't miss anything, and he helped us win that game. So
you're right.
It is what it is. MVS deserves his flowers. I'll give him that.
Because he's one of the reasons that I wanted to do this segment, actually. Look, this is a guy that, rightfully so, has gotten crap all year for his lack of production. This is a guy who has been a disappointment this year. He has not lived up to his contract. And when he gets cut, you know, day one of the offseason, no Chiefs fan's going to be upset.
No.
That's just the way that it is. But you know what? You showed up in the playoffs, and those two receptions that he had for 62 yards was more than any Baltimore or any Buffalo pass catcher that they had. So this is a guy that stepped up when we needed him to. So
yep, absolutely.
I want to give mine to Donovan Smith. Look, this is a guy that has been a little iffy all year. He has had, you know, coming into the when he came to Kansas City, he had a ton of penalties last year. Kind of injury prone on and off the injury report all of last year. And when he was healthy, though, he was a good pass blocker. Then here in Kansas City, sort of the same stuff, right? Injured, a lot of holding penalties, bad in run blocking. You know what, though? Donovan Smith, good job. Good job against Buffalo, because you did what you were supposed to do. Patrick Mahomes wasn't sacked at all, and I know there's four other guys on the offensive line, but Donovan Smith, to me, there's a ton of credit for that. This is a guy that we've talked about his poor play, and he proved that he can be, you know, that guy, at least in the playoffs. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
And there's one more guy, and I got to give it to Taylor, because he didn't have a penalty, and that's 2 weeks in a row that they did not call a penalty on him, which, I mean, that's an anomaly for Taylor. You know, he didn't – I don't know if that was 2 weeks in a row, but 2 weeks in the last – out of the last three or four that he didn't get a penalty. And that was pretty amazing for him. He's been beat up all year. He's been kind of trampled on through the playoffs. You know, everybody's been riding the shit out of him. But he did a pretty good job in that game. I mean, Mahomes was fairly clean for the entire game. No matter how you look at it, he was pretty clean. So we got to give him a little bit of credit, because he did try to step up and help. And I think he did. So – but other than that,
I've got one more.
Go ahead.
I'm also gonna give one to Clyde. Look, I know he didn't participate very much in the game. He had two rushes for 31 yards, but he had a 28-yard carry. Okay, he was involved in some pass pro. He didn't mess anything up for you, right? That's really the big thing. I know Chiefs fans will be happy to see when Clyde leaves, and he's still a part of this team. I think he's a very good third down option for this team. I think that he can run the ball in between the tackles, you know, on a very limited basis. You have Isaiah Pacheco, who is your lead back. But, you know, when Pacheco gets a big run and needs to come out for a breather, I think Clyde has shown you enough that for the next two games, hopefully two games, you can trust him. And I think that, you know, that's important for this team because Kansas City needs to stick with the run. And having two guys, Pacheco, obviously, clearly, no doubt about it, your lead guy, and Clyde being there, you know, if he needs to get on the high end 5-6 carries a game, you should be okay with that. You should be able to trust him. And Clyde has sort of rebuilt that trust here in Kansas City.
Yeah. And look, also, I wouldn't be too surprised if he's not here next year. And I say this only for one reason. One, he knows he's going to have to up and move. He's contemplating retirement in the next year or two. So if he wants to stick around with a Super Bowl winning team and play for a minimal salary, he's a great third down option for us to keep. He knows the system. He has built some trust back. He's done a very good job since he's been playing again. And, you know, it saves him from injury when he's not pounded all the time. He's just an injury prone guy. So you can't fault him for that. You know, there's people out there that are just injury prone. There's people that aren't. He's just one of those guys. He's like the Sammy Watkins of running backs. He gets injured easily and often. So you use him sparingly, but you use him effectively. And that's what they've done this year with him. So I rode Clyde for like 3 years, you know, and I knew why Veach kept him, and it was all because of the money and the fact that he was a first round draft pick, and Veach doesn't like to be embarrassed. But, you know, at some point you got to cut ties, but he proved himself. So, and I don't know if that's because this is a year he knows he's out or if that's just because he's, you know, really worked on his craft a little bit. But I feel like, from what I've heard, he doesn't plan on playing more than another year or two. He's going to nursing school. He's going to graduate from nursing school pretty quickly. And I think that's what his passion is. His mom's a nurse, and that's where his passion's at, and among other things. So this is just a means to an end for him when it comes to it. I think he's realized that. So it's okay. Whatever he decides to do, he decides to do. If he wants to stick around, I'm okay with it. As a third down back, I am okay with it. So.
And I think he's earned that trust here in Kansas City.
Absolutely.
You have some statistics, some history.
Yeah, that, man, you want to bring up? Fucking crazy when you think about it. So Mahomes is 6 years as a starter. He has 17 playoff wins. 17. Now, if you want to put that into a perspective of any kind, the Cardinals have been around since 1920. They have 17 playoff wins as a team since 1920. Tom Brady, in 22 years, had 35 playoff wins.
Right.
Mahomes is halfway there in six. 6 years. That's astonishing, to say the least. He broke two more records in that Bills game. And he just continues every year to break more records. Every year. He did it in Miami with the Miami game. He did it with the Bills game. And we'll see what he does in this game coming up. But right now, it looks like there's nothing that can stop this kid. Whether you got drops, whether you don't have drops, it doesn't really matter. He's going to go out there and help you win. And, of course, the defense has been a huge part of that. But he had a great, almost a perfect game, really, when you think about it, against those Bills in that temperature in a hostile environment, getting ice balls thrown at him and everything else that went on. You cannot – there is not another quarterback in this league, no matter who he has on the field, he has made it work. He has made it work with who he's had. And that's – it's just unbelievable. It's hard to believe that somebody can do that and be able to make it work that well. Pretty insane. Now, Travis Kelce is six catches away from surpassing Jerry Rice in the playoffs for all-time receptions. Jerry Rice played – was it 17 or 19 years in the league? He went to more playoff games than Kelce has been to. And Kelce's going to surpass him with six more receptions. And he's a tight end. Jerry Rice was a premier wide receiver his entire career. He said, don't let the Gronk fans hear that. Yeah. It's pretty crazy to think that he is right there. He's right on the cusp. And he could do that easily in this Ravens game. He can get six receptions in this Ravens game. I am blown away that he has done so much in the 11 years. This is his 11th season in the league, and really you can say it's 10 because he didn't play his rookie season at all. That's amazing to me. I mean, no matter how you look at it, that's phenomenal. You can't ask for more. And, of course, a lot of that came from 2017 on, but still it's a ridiculous stat to have.
Right.
As a tight end. It's insane. You can't – anybody that wants to say he's not the best tight end that's played this game is nuts, because that's crazy talk to be able to get to where he's at in half the time, well, almost half the time, and less games, less playoff games. It's crazy to think about. So those are the stats that I thought about right off the top of my head, and I thought, man, I got to bring these up because those are insane numbers for two people that you would never – I don't think anybody other than – people that really watch Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech knew that he could come out and be a straight up baller. In fact, I was one of those people. I wasn't on the bandwagon of him playing that quickly. I was wrong. I admitted it numerous times on this show. I was wrong. He could have played his first year. I'm glad he didn't, because it would have screwed everything else up that we had going and what we've done. But holy crap. I mean, the things he's done and the things Kelsey's done is just ridiculous. You just can't ask for more. So I had to bring that up because it was in guts. So,
I mean, do we want to talk about just how – I don't even know if there's really that much we can add to it, to be honest, though. You know, Travis Kelsey is now chasing Rice, Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's only behind him in playoff yards, touchdowns, and receptions. There's a chance he breaks that reception mark on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's less than 10. It's less than 10 receptions he has.
Six. He needs six. He needs six. That's insane.
There's a chance that he breaks that this Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, right now he's eighth all time. All time. In the playoffs. Eighth. That's to think about how impressive that is in basically a 10-year span. I don't know, bro. It's just, to me, it's unheard of. And the fact that he's not really a wide receiver. He's been a tight end his whole career. Of course, he's a very fast, agile tight end, but he's still a tight end. There's been a lot of fast, agile tight ends in the league. Tony Gonzalez was one of those guys. You know, it's just what he has been able to do in that period of time. I mean, Tony played 17 years. So this is his 10th season as a player. I mean, being on the field, I should say. I don't know, man. I mean, if people can't give him his flowers, then they're nuts. It's just straight up haters, because there's never been anybody being able to do that. I don't think there ever will be anybody that does what he does. George Kittle's 30 years old. He's nowhere near Kelsey. Mark Andrews, 30 years old, nowhere near Kelsey. There's no possibility that either one of those guys can get to where Kelsey is by age 34. No possibility. I mean, Kittle's had two 1,000-yard seasons, two, and they were sporadic at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to take a special talent who gets hot from the get-go. And the thing about the tight end position is that historically it takes you 2 or 3 years to get going. Absolutely. For whatever reason. That's just the way – it's like offensive linemen. It's like you, generally speaking, don't come into the league and immediately are one of the best at your position. That's just the way that it works in the NFL. You know, to be able to come up with the reason why, I don't know, but that's just the way that historically it is in the NFL.
Well, and if you think about it from that perspective, I mean, when you talk about all the great tight ends that have played this game, there's a handful of them that have been reception leaders, touchdown guys, you know, guys that you can rely on in the passing game every time, just about. And there's very few. You know, Sharp, what's his name? Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez.
Shannon Sharp.
Of course, Gronk. You know, those guys, yeah, you – but how many guys are you talking about there in the history of the game? I mean, you can go back years and go, okay, well, he was a good tight end because he caught a few passes. But yeah, they were never used for that.
Now we're talking about, you know, the tight end position is just so different. Like the reason why we talk about, you know, Shannon Sharpe, Antonio Gates, and Tony Gonzalez is because for a lot of this conversation, they were the beginning of what the tight end position has now become. So yeah, the tight end position really was just an extra tackle, an extra blocker out on the field. So, you know, you could Marty ball it. It became really what it is through just a couple of guys proving how valuable that you could be catching the ball off the tackle. And now Travis Kelce is proving, Andy Reid is proving that your tight end doesn't have to line up necessarily as a tight end. Just because they have a TE next to their name doesn't mean they have to get in the 3-point stance before they go catch the ball.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and now you notice, like, you see teams like the Bills that, you know, that grab Dalton Kincaid and they're trying to use him the same way that Kelce. They modeled their team after us. If you really look at the Bills and the way they play the game, they're probably the closest as far as modeling themselves after a team. I mean, the Bengals have tried it. They failed. But it's crazy to think that teams are now starting to go, oh, shit, maybe we do need a really good tight end after Kelce's done it for all these years, after Gonzalez did it for all those years, after Gronk did it for all those years. I don't know, man. I don't see anybody that's going to ever have – I mean, the closest guy that's ever gotten to 7 straight 1,000-yard seasons had 2 in a row. So say what you want, but Big Yeti ain't no joke. No. I mean, he's a beast, man. So we can't deny what he's doing at 34 years old is phenomenal. Phenomenal. What's up, man? What's up, guys? I'm glad you all joined. But yeah, man, I mean, between him and Kelce, I mean, between him and Mahomes, God, what a group. I mean, what a duo. You can't ask for better. You just can't. They've already made it very clear that that duo is better than the Gronk Brady duo. It's just crazy to think that how good these two guys are.
I'm just glad he's writing his contract out.
Go ahead.
I hate to say it, but this is as good as it gets as Chiefs fans, as NFL football fans. Enjoy it. Don't let this become one of those things where, you know, it shouldn't just be you shouldn't just go into every season and be like, oh, you know, this is the expert. No, every time you get to see Patrick Mahomes out on that field wearing red 15, you know, you should watch it closely because
it doesn't get
any better than this. And, you know, the crazy thing is that historically quarterbacks don't get into their prime until they're 27 to about early 30s, 32. Patrick Mahomes is just getting there. So,
absolutely,
you know, this is something that could get better, for as crazy as it sounds. But we need to enjoy this, you know, because not every franchise is the Green Bay Packers where they can find back-to-back-to-back starters.
Exactly, exactly. And what he just said, he said it'll never happen again. I think this is about this all the time. I agree. He said he thinks about this all the time. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that. And honestly, man, after 50 years of a drought and seeing what I've seen during that time, I never thought I would see it, to be honest with you. I never thought I would see this team get to where they're at. I mean, I thought we had hit our pinnacle, you know, with Joe Montana at one point, because I was like, fuck. And I was sitting there in Buffalo when that game happened. I was on the field when Montana got knocked out. So I know how the pain of what older Chiefs fans have been through. It's just crazy. Now, I didn't, you know, see so much of the 80s other than late 80s, but it's crazy to think how good this team is. And don't take it for granted, because like everybody said, this can happen and it can go away. So enjoy every second of it, because you never know how long. Look how quickly the window closed for other teams in this league that everybody thought were going to take out the Chiefs. I mean, the Bengals have had problems. The Bills are having problems. You know, the Ravens finally had a resurgence, but we don't know. We really don't know until this game comes up next week.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. The Lamar hype scares me. It doesn't really scare me that much. I mean, if you really look at who they've played this year, you wouldn't be so scared. I mean, they haven't played a ton of tough football teams.
I don't know. They've played more playoff teams than Kansas City has.
Well, now But it doesn't necessarily mean that those were the teams. You could say that all day long, but they had one of the easiest schedules going into the season, especially in their division. So you can say it, but in the same aspect, the playoff teams that they played, they may not have been that great. I mean, you're talking about the Steelers, the Dolphins, we beat twice. They actually
beat, I mean, they beat San Francisco 33-19.
I understand that, but you also got to remember, look, that was the first and only game that Brock Purdy had four interceptions. They had no Deebo Samuels in that game, just like they had no Deebo Samuels in this last game that they won. But that was a little different. You know, that was kind of an anomaly type of game for them. I think given the fact that it's AFC, NFC, they don't play each other ever. And then you have an injured player that is one of your star players and a quarterback that just went off the rails and threw four fucking interceptions. Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. Everybody, you know, I think that's the game that everybody's flipped out about because the Ravens beat him so badly.
I mean, look, Baltimore for a majority of the year has been at the top of the AFC. I think, look, these four teams that are left are probably the four best teams in the NFL. I think I think the cream of the crop has risen to the top, and neither of these two opponents should take each other lightly.
No.
And we'll talk. I've got some more thoughts and some other things that I want to look into before we get deep into this game, which we will for the Thursday show. But
absolutely,
you know, just the initial my initial thought process about Thursday's game before we get back to the question that I asked that I had.
He did say something. He said, big arm. Yeah, he's right. Quarterbacks with big arms. Stafford did eat up that defense. Big arm quarterbacks usually chew them up pretty good.
And look, so, you know, the offensive weapons for Baltimore, they're not great, right?
No.
They don't have a Stephon Diggs level guy. Now, Isaiah Likely has turned out to be a true, you know, receiving tight end. Mark Andrews reportedly is looking to come back for this game against Kansas City.
Yeah, he is.
So they've got a couple of tight ends that are real threats, right? We just spent the last 6 minutes talking about the importance of the tight end in the modern NFL. And yeah, I was obviously out on Kansas City signing OBJ, but you know, he's been around.
He's helped them a lot, actually.
Zay Flowers was a lot of Kansas City Chiefs fans. Like, that's the guy they wanted Kansas City to go out and draft.
Yeah.
He hasn't been Rashee Rice level good, but you know, he's been pretty good. So this offense isn't anything to squander at, but I do think it's important to note that they don't have, you know, like that true number one guy, right?
No.
And Kansas City's defensive backfield has been impressive against top tier talent this year, to say the least. So,
and they don't really have top tier talent. I mean, they've got top tier talent for their team.
Right.
But they don't have NFL top tier talent right now. So you got an aging OBJ, and Zay Flowers has been pretty good. Can't discredit the guy. I agree with what this said. You know, their safety play is spotty. It is. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if they faced a running back similar to Pacheco. And I know that their offense has not faced another secondary like ours. So they're going to have to rely heavily on the run and Lamar's legs. The difference, I think, is that Lamar's legs and Lamar himself is nowhere near as strong as Josh Allen. So he takes a good hit trying to be the hero, and he may go to zero because Justin Reed does not play. You're in the open field and you're running, he's going to put you on your back. He doesn't care who you are. The only reason he takes it a little easy on quarterbacks is because he doesn't want somebody to come back and hit Mahomes that way, because he knows Mahomes will take off and run at any point. The only reason why he hasn't really put the screws to a couple of quarterbacks, he could have laid Allen out a couple of times in that game, and he decided against it. So just, you know, this, I think this is the best match. If you look at all the teams that were in the playoffs in the AFC, this is probably the most evenly matched. You know, you got the number one defense on paper going against the number two defense, number one in sacks, number two in sacks, number one in points allowed, number two in points allowed. So this is an evenly matched defensive game. the difference is going to be on the offensive side of the ball for the most part. Now, I think our defense is better than theirs, especially in the secondary. From the linebackers back, I think we're better because they haven't played anybody like us. They haven't played Mahomes this year. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah,
depends on who shows up.
Kansas City is, what, 3-4 or 2-3 against Lamar Jackson, Baltimore Ravens? And while I don't think that, you know, quarterback wins is a great way to depict, you know, team success, I do think that, you know, when you're playing teams with the same quarterback over, you know, a multiple year span, I do think that it shows, you know, what each team generally is.
Exactly.
So I do think that it kind of matters in that sense.
Yeah. I agree. By the way, if anybody wants to know, for all the bitching and complaining about the Chiefs being in the divisional round and how much – this tells you how much people hate the Chiefs. 56 million people peaked watching the divisional round game. That's 15 million more than any other divisional game ever. That's insane. And that I don't think it's because they wanted to see the game. Because of the game, they wanted to see Mahomes get beat. They wanted to see the Chiefs get beat. We are the new Patriots. And that pisses everybody off. The difference is that we do it legally. We don't have anybody helping us out. I mean, we're the second most penalized team in football this year. We had the highest penalized offensive lineman this year. Highest penalized player this year. Period.
One and two.
So we don't get the help that everybody wants to say that we do. This is just one of those things that when you're that good and people know it, they don't have any choice but to hate because they're not fans of your team. And now we got all the Swifties on our side, people that really aren't Swifties that were kind of on the fence. They're all on our side. Then we got Jason Kelsey's crew on our side and their fan base. I mean, we got Eagles fans that are actually rooting for us right now because of Jason Kelsey. It's crazy to think that we're in that position. They were happy that we beat the Bills.
Hey, as long as you aren't allegedly robbing banks, I'm happy for you to be a part of Chiefs Kingdom.
Absolutely.
Not to bring up any specific examples.
Yeah, I mean, we can leave that for the New York Post. I do want to say prayers out to those guys' family, but whatever happened there happened, and I don't want to get into it. So, anyway, what's the next topic?
I have a question for you, and it's I think we're going to disagree, but you know, I've been wrong like twice before. Which
today.
One do you think it was more of a devastating loss for the Bills? The 13-second game or Sunday?
Sunday. I think it was Sunday. This was the game that they thought they had in the bag because of the talk behind no weapons, drops, nobody being on cue. They thought they had this game. The 13-second game in their minds was it was a first playoff game. It was one of those things where we went down the field, we beat him and it was over with. And they took Mahomes for granted. This game here was devastating to them. Devastating. To the players and the fans. And by the way, this is the fourth year that Stephon Diggs has stood out on the field for three straight days without taking a shower and just stared off into the sunset. That man, I don't know how he stays with that team, but he said that game was their fault, the 13-second game. They couldn't do anything. Yeah, exactly. They couldn't do anything about the 13-second game. They could have in this game, but they didn't. I'm going to get to those questions about Tooney and everybody else here in a little bit. I've got little updates on those. What do you think? I think Sunday was.
Man, I think I still got to go with the 13-second game. I don't want recency bias to get in here, and here's why. I think it's the 13-second game because you were going back and forth, you were trading blows, right? And you know, you had it was such an that game was such it was more of an emotional roller coaster than this game was, right? I felt like, you know, when they were driving, when the Bills were driving, even on that last drive, right, the one where they missed the field goal, you were looking at the clock and you're like, oh, that's fine, you know, but in that game where Kansas City had 13 seconds left, like, it was bleak. It was never like that in this game.
Lamar Jackson, they're all heartbroken here in Buffalo. There are tears all over.
And
really,
I just think that, you know, when you have that 13 seconds left, you're Josh Allen, you're Bills fans, and you feel like you've already won the game, right? There was never that moment in this game where you felt like you won because you were just trying to tie it, right? You were never. The win was never right there. There was still a lot of football left when the field goal was missed. And so when there's 13 seconds left, you feel like you've already won. Right now we're just kicking the ball off, you know, just because we have to wait for the clock to hit double zeros. And I would push back, and I would say that, you know, it kind of was the Bills' fault for the kind of defense they were playing. Why were you protecting the sidelines when Kansas City still had timeouts? You should have been protecting the middle of the field because yards were more important because you had timeouts. So I would say that part of that was also a coaching blunder. So it was on the Bills for that too. I think the 13-second one is also just – that was probably the best team that Buffalo has had in terms of all around. I mean, Ed Oliver, that was at his peak, right? The Bills offense, that, you know, it wasn't as high flying as Patrick Mahomes and then that year, but, you know, the Bills offense was still talked about as one of the best. Where is this year? It was like Stephon Diggs and who? Your wide receiver had one of the best playoff performances. Gabe Davis had one of the best playoff performances ever, and you still lost. So yeah, I think it's a 13-second game. Just because of the emotional roller coaster that it was.
Well, this year for the Bills fans, it was a very emotional roller coaster. You know, they had a really bad losing streak. Then they came on strong. Everybody thought they were fixed. There was no problems. They were playing for their coach, which they really weren't. He said, I want to point something out. The reason that we got chewed up in the run game is because Steve didn't want any big plays behind them.
I agree with Colin.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I get what you're saying. I agree with you.
This was the first time in, I think the stat was 99 games. This was the first time in 99 Josh Allen Buffalo games that they didn't have a gain over 20 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this defense did.
Well, you got to remember, too, he did have a game that he won this year that he threw for 84 yards. So... and no touchdowns. I see it from both sides. I still think this game was really hard on fans. They really thought they were going to beat us simply because they thought we were down. Offensively, they thought we could not score. They thought everybody thought Kelsey was basically done. We didn't have any weapons that they thought other than Rice. I just feel like they thought we were going to be easy to beat, and we proved them wrong. And it's kind of like Mahomes said, they wanted it, they got it. They wanted me on the road, they got me on the road. So, look, man, I don't know, man. This is you got fans out there crying, cussing out Gabe Davis, and he wasn't even playing. I mean, he got into a fight with fans, and he wasn't even playing. They were calling him all kinds of names. They were throwing ice. They were pouring bottles of water on snowballs and freezing them just to throw at the players. Mahomes tried to give a fan some, gloves or whatever it was, wristband, whatever, and they were firing ice balls and snowballs at him. They hit Chris Jones a couple of times with snowballs. He finally just snapped. It was pretty bad all the way around. I mean, they were pretty upset. They turned the fucking hot water off in the showers on the Chiefs players. I mean, they were pissed, dude. So, and Donovan Smith, everybody came out and said that's what they did. And it was, you know, supposedly there was no basis behind it. Well, yeah, because you can go and turn a valve and turn the hot water back on. But That's pretty sad. I mean, and I don't see, look, man, if McDermott stays in this position, which I doubt very seriously he does, because they know now that he's the problem. He's a lot of the problem. They got to make a change. And their cap is not great right now. It's just not that good. So I don't know, man. They got a lot to do. They got a lot to fix. You got Von Miller that's 35 years old that they owe, what, $80 million to? Your cap is fucked.
Yeah, this is – up until this point, Josh Allen has been an average of an $8 million cap hit.
Yeah.
Next year it's 45.
45. And then you got Von Miller on top of that. You got Stephon Diggs on top of that. That just signed a new contract that was minimal this year, but next year it kicks in. And he's planning on staying. If he leaves, they still get kicked in the teeth. They've got a lot to work out with that football team.
Yeah.
And Bills fans better be ready for that.
Heading into the 2024 season, they are $43.7 million in the hole.
In the hole. Over the cap. That's fucking insane, dude. And they did that just to beat us. They went all out just to beat us. And now they're going to have to figure out a way of dismantling this shit. There's no possibility they can sustain with what they've got moving forward. Yeah. No way.
Josh Allen is a $47 million cap hit next year. Stephon Diggs, 27. Von Miller, 23. Deion Dawkins and Tre'Davious White, both are 16. I mean, they've got some expensive contracts hidden in the books.
Here we go again.
Damn straight. I mean, that's crazy. And then the fact that they signed Von Miller to that contract, and then
yeah,
that was right there at almost 34 years old was insane. I'm sorry, but that was stupid. Why would you sign into that big-ass contract?
Yeah, and here it only gets worse for them in 2025 in terms of their top three guys. So Josh Allen is a $56 million cap hit. Stephon Diggs is still at 27. Von Miller, 23.
And there's no bonus restructuring in that. You can't restructure, you know, there's no bonus. You can't restructure it for a bonus. You just can't because it's not in their contracts like it is with Mahomes. He's got a bonus structure contract. You can do it every year.
This is, you know, this was what was so important about. We talk about the biggest advantage in the NFL is getting a great quarterback on a rookie contract, right? Yeah. And because you can put a great team around him, then it becomes, what do you do when you pay the guy?
Yep.
And the Bills are going to have to, you know, live with that going forward. You found your quarterback. You squandered his rookie deal slash the first couple years of his extension where, you know, you're not really that expensive. Now the big money hits. Now yep. What do you do? This exactly. is where you figure out what your GM is made of, right?
Exactly.
What kind of moves can he make? Can he acquire extra draft assets? What can you do with set draft assets, right? This is something that the Bengals are going to have to figure out here soon. This is something that the Chargers are going to have to figure out here coming up in a couple of years because Joe Burrow, for instance, his big contract, it's not a huge – I mean, it's sizable, right? $29 million cap hit next year. And then in 2025, it hits $46 million for Joe Burrow.
Yep.
You know, like these numbers are going to start to hit all around the AFC. We've talked about this for a while where, man, look at all these really good quarterbacks coming into the AFC. And it's going to be harder because, you know, Kansas City is not just the one with the great quarterback. But on the flip side of it, it's okay, yes, but that means that GMs are going to have to play up to the level, right? Another guy that got paid during the offseason, Justin Herbert. Well, he's getting paid $19 million in 2024. 2025, it jumps up to 37.
Yep.
And the Chargers are $45 million in the red.
That's right.
So there are all of these teams that have, you know, what are perceived to be good to great quarterbacks are now all getting paid.
Yep. And you know, the sad part about all of that is that these agents and the quarterbacks themselves, they think about, I just want to be the highest paid. I want to say I'm the highest paid. The one thing that we are so lucky that Mahomes turned down that giant contract. He had an option and he said, no, I'm okay with where I'm at. Because he made enough money in endorsements. He knows business very well. He doesn't want to rape the football team. Kelce did the exact same thing. He didn't want to rape the football team. Tyreek did want to rape the football team, and look where that got him. In Cancun, both years.
That's true. Colin put that in the and he's talking about how the Bills are one of the oldest teams in the NFL at all positions. That's true, especially on the defense.
They are.
The Bills are going to have to go through a small rebuild phase here, right? This was, you know, sort of that last when you have a quarterback like a Josh Allen, when you have a top level quarterback, I don't think you can really say your Super Bowl window has closed per se. But it's shrunk, you know.
It's gonna have to be reopened.
It's harder to squeeze through. Okay, you've got one of those windows that annoyingly only opens up like halfway down,
like those basement windows that just opened. Yeah.
The child safety ones, or like when you're on the school bus and you can't put the window below the black line. Okay, that's the Bills Super Bowl window moving forward. Okay,
yeah
technically the window opens, but like, does it really count? Okay.
There's not enough air coming through it. It doesn't count. I don't know, man. It's crazy to think. I mean, right now, Colin's right. Them and the Eagles have really old football teams.
Yeah. The Lamar Jackson in 2024, his cap hits $32 million. 2025, next season, so it jumps up to $43 million.
Yeah.
So we're going to see some spikes up at all of these top quarterback positions. A lot of them are going to take up a significant amount of cap.
Yep. And if you guys remember, that's what the Rams did in 2017. They put all of their eggs in one basket to go to a Super Bowl.
And if you win the Super Bowl, then it's worth it, right?
Yeah. But the problem is that you can say you win a Super Bowl, but then what good does it do you if you can't win for the next 5 or 6, 8 years, because you spent all of your money and have to rebuild every 2 or 3 years.
Jesus Christ, man. Lamar Jackson, 2026, his cap hit $74 million.
Yeah.
2027, $74.6 million.
I got a weird feeling they're going to try and restructure him.
Probably. I mean, that's how these work, right? Or, you know, in 2026, you give him an extension and you blow some of that money off towards the end to help to try it. So there's no way that contract $76 million cap hit. Holy crap, dude.
It's the highest cap hit of any quarterback. I don't even think Burrow being paid more than him is that kind of a cap hit for the next 3 or 4 years. I don't think his cap hit's that high. I think Jalen Hurts is. I think his cap hit's really up there pretty high. I don't know if it's $74 million, but it's up there.
Now, Burrow's only hits just a little over $50 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a little over 50. Yeah, you know.
Just pennies. A little over 50.
Pennies, you know what I'm saying? Pennies.
I mean, well, when you're comparing 50 to 70 in a hard cap hit league.
Man.
Let's see. Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts got his extension.
Yeah.
Yeah. His hits $40 million in 2027. $47 million in 2028.
Yeah, it's not nearly as bad. Yeah, it is.
No, I'm looking at this. Oh, never mind. Never mind. I was, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they actually structured him correctly.
His is about, $40 million for a couple of years there.
Yeah. So they and right now it's minimal. So
and his contract is one of those contracts that has some like void years at the end of it.
Yep. Yep. I don't know, man. It's going to be hard for the Bengals. It's going to be hard for the Bills. It's going to be hard for the Ravens. I don't think Herbert's contract is that difficult.
Well, the rest of the team, though, is bad.
Yeah, the rest of the team is. And they paid guys that were old to begin with. They started off paying old guys, extending old guys, kind of like what the Bills did with Von Miller. So I don't know, man. To me, it's just insane. But regardless, what's next? What's next on the agenda here?
There was some, I don't want to call it like news because it hasn't been confirmed yet, but it does seem like that a certain Harbaugh brother will be the next head coach of the Chargers.
Yeah, it's looking that way. He's been there twice.
There was a report that came out that they have agreed on principle on his salary. So, you know, when you start to hear all these different reports coming out from multiple people, it seems all but the paper has been signed that.
Yeah, the holdup is this. what I've, when I talked to a couple of guys, the holdup is what his control is, what he's able to do and not able to do. He wants 100% control of that football team in all aspects.
Good, give it to him.
Yeah, and the ownership is fighting him on it a little bit, and that's what's taken him longer than expected to sign. He wants to go there because of Herbert. It's the only reason he really wants to go there, but he wants to dismantle the team and just start.
I mean, I would. Do we want to – I mean, we could talk about some of the – so the five biggest cap hits for the Chargers, okay? Khalil Mack, $38 million. Joey Bosa, $36 million. Keenan Allen, $34 million. Mike Williams, $32 million. Derwin James, $19 million. Then we get to Justin Herbert at $19 million. Yeah. I mean, that is atrocious team building.
Yeah, it is. It is. But think about that, too. It's that tells you how horrible their GM and Brandon Staley was. It's that simple. When you extend guys that are already 30 in a wide receiver room, especially – let me bring it, go back a little bit. When you extend guys that are close to 30 that are extremely injury prone, and you give them giant contracts to stick around, there's something wrong. There's a problem somewhere. Whether it be the GM or the head coach doesn't know how to draft or doesn't know how to go into free agency and pull somebody in, whatever the case may be, there's a problem. And those guys are really showing that they don't know what the fuck they're doing. That is like the John Dorsey of cap hits right now. The 2017 John Dorsey cap hit. That's what that is. And or 2018. It's kind of crazy to think that a team can be that buried and then only win five games or six games, whatever it was. I don't know, man. That's been Harbaugh's biggest holdback, though, is that he wants to be in control of what goes on in that football team. He wants no one to tell him what to do. He doesn't want the owner stepping in. He doesn't want anybody stepping in. He wants to hire everybody, GM down. And that was the biggest holdup so far. So, and I think that's part of the reason why Belichick, right now, Belichick and Vrabel, neither one of them have signed contracts anywhere. There's a reason behind that. There's one team that they're kind of on the fence with, trying to decide whether that coach is going to go, and that's the Bills. If the Bills launch McDermott, which I have a feeling it might happen, I can guarantee you one of those two guys is probably going to say, wait, I'll take that job. Why wouldn't you? You got a top-tier quarterback. You got the makings of a good football team. You just need the right coach in there that knows how to do it. And I think McDermott's on his way out. He lost that locker room last year. He lost it a little bit this year. He got it back a little bit. And then he royally, whoever was calling plays during that game, just fucked up. They played a terrible football game for the most part. I don't know, man. This guy can't win a playoff game. He can't get past the Chiefs. So I just don't see him. I don't see him sticking around. I think it's time for a change. And I see, from what I've heard, they want a change. So Diggs says he's sticking around there. He's committed to the football team. Now, next week that may change. But right now he's committed to the football team and sticking with his contract. He's signed for like three more years, I think. He's got three more years left on his contract. So I don't know if he wants to try and test and see if somebody, you know, demand a trade and see if somebody will take that contract on, or if he figures, fuck it. I am what I am. This is what I'm going to get. And hopefully if they get a new coach in here in the next 3 years, maybe I'll win something. I think that's the only thing, is he's just trying to decide what he wants to do as far as his future. And what is Diggs? He's 28 or 29 years old now. So you got to think about it from that perspective. You only got so much time left in this game. So if you want a ring, you better hope and pray they find you a new coach, because you're not going to get it with that one. You're just not.
I don't think they fire McDermott.
Why?
I just don't see him doing it. I think that if you're the Bills, owner of the Bills, you can sit here and say, hey, look, we got to another, you know, divisional round. Yeah, we lost to the Chiefs, but you know what? Most people lose to the Chiefs. So let's give this another run.
I don't know, man. He's been there four times to the playoffs four times. Four times they won their division, and four
and you know what? There are a lot of franchises that would love to do that.
I know, but they haven't. When you win your division four times in a row, and you can't win, you can't get to an AFC Championship game or a Super Bowl. I don't know, brother. I mean, there's just something about it that makes me. And from what I've heard, they want him gone. Not the, I mean, the players want him gone. The fans want him gone, of course. But he lost that locker room a couple of times, and the ownership knows it. Now, the only good thing he's got going for him is the fact that they're really fucking cheap. That is very cheap organization. The owner is very cheap. So for him to go out and sign a Belichick, he's going to have to cough up $20 million a year because that's what Belichick made. Does he really want to do that? What's he got? You know, if Vrabel comes up and, you know, says, hey, are you thinking about making a move? I'll take $10 million. Do you make that move? I would. Vrabel's a better coach. He's just a better coach. He took fucking Tannehill to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
What do you think he could do with Allen? I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't see McDermott sticking around. If he sticks around one more year, that's amazing to me. What do you say? He said it's been an average of 3 years and a head coach. What Colin say? Where'd he go? It's been an average of 3 years and a head coach has lasted in the AFC West besides Andy Reid. That's true. I mean, I agree with you. It is an average of about 3 years. The only one that has stuck around is Harbaugh. He's the only one that's been there for any length of time. And then, of course, Mike Tomlin. But for the rest of the AFC, yeah, they rotate a lot because everybody's trying to get to that top of that mountain. Yeah, Diggs is 30 this year. He's got to really think about his future. He's not going to get to a Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to get to Super Bowl with that football team. And he's got to think about that. But I still think that owner of the Bills is asking, what would it cost to bring in Belichick? What would it cost to bring in Vrabel? I guarantee he's asked those questions. You'd be stupid not to. The only reason the Eagles kept Sirianni is because he had to bring in a fucking business plan of what he was going to do, and that was basically firing everyone else because he can't call plays. He's a good hype man, and he's making fucking minimal money. Look at his contract. He's one of the lowest paid head coaches out there. So, yeah, they're going to keep him because they're fucking cheap. Cheap teams do cheap things. That simple. And sometimes, hate to say it, but you can be cheap and do it right or somewhat right if you got the right person, quarterback, head coach in place. You can be cheap in other areas, but when it comes to coaching, you can't have a hype man out there. And the Eagles are going to find that out. If next year they come out and they don't even get to the playoffs because they kept Sirianni and brought in other people as an offensive defensive coordinator and yet again change up everything on these players, then they're going to have to figure out, okay, what do I do next? Because Sirianni is not the answer. And I don't think McDermott is either. McDermott's a better head coach than Sirianni is. He's gotten further in a lot of ways. But I don't know, man. It's kind of weird to think. I know Sirianni made it to a Super Bowl, but it wasn't because of his coaching ability. It was the weakest schedule in the NFL. And he really, to be honest with you, when it comes to a luck appearance in the Super Bowl, that motherfucker's picture should be next to it in the dictionary. Because that was pure luck that he got there. It was. He's not a head coach. And it proved it this year. And I said it at the beginning of the season, they're going to regress. And they did. You can't keep changing people around and expect the same results. You can't keep the same head coach that sucks and expect the same results when you're changing everybody else around. The offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinators who got them to that Super Bowl last year. It had nothing to do with Sirianni. Nothing. So, anyway, I'm done with my rant.
Well, that's all I have. That was all my notes from the game.
I don't think I have anything else either.
We will talk about the Ravens game definitely a little more. I know I've got some stuff that I am intrigued by, but I'm going to look into it more tomorrow and Thursday before I spout my wisdom.
Well, it's going to be an interesting game coming up. Make sure you guys join us on the PSF app tomorrow night. We're going to do a midweek show, and then Sunday we will do the live game cast, audio, video, the whole nine yards. Make sure you join in. If you don't have the app, go on your phone and get it. It's free. Pro sports fans, pretty fun. With that being said, we will talk to you guys again tomorrow and Thursday. Peace out, everybody.